Today's shir is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Tes Zayin. We will begin on Daf Tes Vav Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom, by Mnei Shmuel Mirav. The way Rashi learns this Gemara is actually a direct continuation from the Gemara that we learned in our previous shir. The Gemara spoke about somebody who bought a piece of property from a gazlan and the unique halachas that are connected to that type of a situation. The way Tosfos learns this Gemara is not that the person who bought it from the gazlan necessarily knew that it was a stolen piece of property. But begins the Gemara, Bamina Shmuel Mirav, Chozav Alochim Ebalim Rishonim. So the gazlan now bought this piece of property that he had stolen, and he sent and sold it, and now he goes and buys it back from the original owners. Mahu, how does the halacha look at this situation? Does the halacha look at the situation that he now is in the place of the owner? And just like the owner, as we've been learning in our shurim, has recourse, the real owner has recourse to the person who bought it to claim the property back, or does he not? Amalei, so Rav said that Ma Mochalei Rishon L'Sheni, what did the gazlan sell to the person to whom he sold the property? The buyer of this property from the gazlan is in the place of the gazlan, and therefore now that the gazlan is in the position that he is truly the owner of the property, and since he is the true owner of the property, that's why he has the right. So when he sells it, it's a fair sale. It's a good sale. And the person who purchased the property from him now will be able to remain on that property. Ask the Gemara, my Tama. Ask the Gemara, why? Says the Gemara, Mazutra Omar. Mazutra teaches us, Nichalei Delay Nikli Gazlana. The person who was the gazlan that originally stole this property, but now bought this property, is happy not to have the title of being a gazlan, which the Gemara will speak about more in a moment. But of course, many Rishonim ask the question, why is the Gemara asking, my Tama, what's the reason that the halacha views the gazlan as the owner, as the true owner of the property, and the sale that he made of this property should not completely be considered a valid sale? Didn't the Gemara already explain that the reason that is the halacha, because ma mochalei rishon l'sheni kol chush tov l'yadai? So what is the Gemara asking now? A new question. So there are a number of answers that the Rishonim suggest to this question. One explanation, which the Gemara is actually going to discuss later in the shir, is that how could the Gemara suggest ma mochalei rishon? Why did the gazlan sell to the person who bought it from him? Isn't that a dovish labalaylam? When the actual sale took place, the gazlan did not yet own the property. And since at that point he didn't own the property, he should not have the ability to sell the property. So even though later he becomes the owner of the property, isn't that a consideration of dovish labalaylam? Another way of learning the Gemara, maybe even a simpler way, is that the Gemara said that ma mochel rishon l'sheni kos chush tov l'yodoi. And the Gemara's question now is, why would we say that is the situation, that when the gazlan sold it and now he bought it, what he meant to do was that the sale was that the person who purchased it from him should have full ownership? What pushes us to say that? And for that, says Mazutra, the reason we're going to say this because the gazlan is satisfied to say this, because nichalei d'lo nikol gazlanim, he doesn't want to be called a gazlan. Ravashi gives a different explanation. Nichalei d'leika b'benosai, the gazlan wants to have a good reputation, and since he wants to have a good reputation, if the property will be taken away from the person who bought it from him, because it turns out that he sold stolen property, that will harm his reputation, and he wants to avoid that. Ask the Gemara, Aren't both of these explanations that we just gave similar? My benayu, what is the difference between them? Ikmanai demes lekeach. When the person who bought it had already passed away prior to the gazlan buying it. Manda that the reason is that he doesn't want to be called a gazlan by the person who bought it from him. Hamislay, he doesn't have that concern anymore because that person is no longer alive. However, he wants to be treated, he wants people to feel comfortable about him, so and therefore he doesn't want to have a situation that properties that he sold are taken away. Says the Gemara, Bahad B'nei, with the sons of the person who bought it from him, also Nichle, he wants the Likim B'Menesei, that people shouldn't say that properties that he sold really didn't belong to him. Tosfos explains that the way to understand this Gemara is that that when he bought it, he was a very sick, and that's why he bought it at that time, and that will be the nafkamina. So Tosfos asks that he's going to have to give back the money, and if he doesn't buy the property, he's going to have to pay the person who bought the property and loses the property to the person from whom it was stolen. So, since he's going to have to pay him back, why is he worried? So, Tosfos answers that even though he's going to have to pay back, it's still not going to help his reputation that they went through this whole process of the property being taken away from the person who bought it, and now him have to be giving the money. Tosfos Rosh says that when I buy a property, I want to stay on the property. So even if I'm going to be reimbursed, says the Tosfos Rosh, that isn't what I wanted. I want to be able to have this property. And by the gazlan taking away, and by me losing the property, that hurts the reputation of the gazlan, even if he's going to have to reimburse the person who bought it from him. But ask the Gemara. So the Gemara suggested an afkamina if the person who purchased it is still alive or not. Ask the Gemara, why should that be an afkamina? Soif karle b'nei lekeach, even if the purchaser is no longer alive, he's still going to be labeled a gazlan. So again, ask the Gemara, what is an afkamina between the two explanations? Elk v'nayu, the misgazlan, where the gazlan died after he had bought the property back from the person whom he had stolen from. Mandam nichale linish deloy nikra gazlan. A person is worried about that he shouldn't be labeled a gazlan. When is a person concerned that he shouldn't have that label? That's only as long as he's alive. Here, hamisle. Lamandam nichale delekim b'menosay. But according to the opinion that he wants that a deal that he made should be a proper deal. Hachanami, so in this case, Afagav the Miss, even though the gazlan passed away, Nichalei the Lake of Menosei, he wants that people should think, should know that a deal that he did is a valid deal. Says the Gemara, it doesn't make a difference if he's alive or not alive. Saif, Karlei B'nei B'nei Gazlana, if he's worried his bad reputation, even if he's not alive anymore, his reputation is still something that concerns him because his children will have that label that they are the children of a gazlan. Says the Gemara, Elik B'nai, the nafkamina will be the Yob Matana, that the gazlan gave the property as a gift to the person, didn't sell it to him. Mandam D'Lichalei D'Lake B'Menasai, that he wants to be known as a person that enters into the transaction stays. So here too, even though it wasn't a sale, but he wants that people should know that when he gave a property away, it was done properly. Nichalei d'leikim b'menasei. Matana nami nichalei d'leikim b'menasei. He wants that people should know that when he gave a gift, it was done right. However, man d'mam d'leikim b'menasei, if the concern is that he doesn't want to be called a gazlan, that I sold the property and then it wasn't a valid sale, says the Gemara, I'm not a gazlan. I didn't steal anything from you. You didn't pay me anything. My gazilna mecha, you didn't pay me anything, and that's why I'm not considered a gazlan. Says the Gemara, the pshita, that if the gazlan bought the property from the owner, Zavna, and he sold it to a person or to another person, besides that the person whom he had sold it to before he bought it, Orta, or he gave it as Yerush to one of his children, or Yavim Matana, he gave it away as a gift, and then he bought it. That in all these cases, all these cases are obvious. Lav lok mikama loke kamabai. His intention was not that it should remain with the person who bought it from him, because the fact that he sold it to another person is an indication that he wasn't his intention to keep it by the first purchaser, with the various reasons that the Gemara just gave. Because if that were his intention, why did he sell it to somebody else, or give it away to somebody else, or give it as a Yerusha to somebody else? In all these cases, it's obvious that that wasn't his intention. Nafla bi Yerusha. Another case. Somebody stole a property from his father, and then his father passed away, and now he owns the property because he got a Yerusha. So here, we don't say, well, he bought the property because he felt bad that he sold a stolen property. He didn't do anything. The fact that he now owns the property, says the Gemara, Yerusha Memelehi, it just happened, so to speak, automatically. So when do we say that he was looking to protect his reputation, he was looking to make sure that the sale he made was a valid sale? It's when he actively did something to show that. But when it just fell to him by Yerusha, we have no indication that it was his intent. Next case. Gavi Ihu. If the person who the gazlan stole the property for owed him money, and he took that property as payment for that debt. Gavi Ihu b'choyvai. Chazinen. Iyes le'arach rita. If the person from whom he stole the property had other properties, and he specified, v'mahai b'ina, this property that I had stolen and sold is the property that I want to as the payment that you owe me. It's clear that why did he make that type of specification? Because it was an intention that the person who bought it from him should be able to hold on to it. Viloy, if that's not the case, if he didn't have any other prop, if the person from whom he got it, if the stolen property, which the gazlan got now as payment for a debt that's owed to him, was because he had the Bal Choyv, who's also the Nigzel, had no other property. So it's obvious that he was only looking for Zuzi the Baipari. He only wanted to be able to get paid for his debt. And therefore, since he only wanted to get paid for his debt, we don't have an indication that he was really trying to keep it in the hands of the person who bought it from him. The Rishonim give another example. Let's say this property that he specified, which was the stolen property, was near his other properties that he owns. So again, we could say that he wanted this property because it's in proximity to his other properties. And therefore, it won't be used as a proof that he was trying to save the deal. That's the way the Rashba learns. The Rosh disagrees, because the Rosh says if that was halacha, why didn't the Gemara mention this halacha? Yav na'alei b'matana. If the person from whom he stole the property that he sold gave it to him as a gift, says the Gemara, Pligabar of Rachravina. That is the subject of a machloikus of Rachravina. Charamar, Matana Kirusha. Matana is like Yerusha, Dahama Mela. It comes automatic. And since it comes automatic, it's not considered something that the Gazlan did in order to protect the deal. And therefore, it doesn't mean that he wanted it to remain by the purchaser. That it's like a sale, Dilav, because people just, says the Gemara, an important svara. Dilav the Torah for Arta Kamei, lo have yale matana. The Gemara establishes that people don't just give gifts. If a person gave a gift, there's a reason for giving the gift. And therefore, it should be considered, no different than a purchase. And that's why the Gazlan did nice things to the Nigzal in order that he should be able to get back, so he should become the owner of this property. And the purpose of him wanting to be the owner of this property is Heichad Aleikim B'Manasseh, because he wants that the person who purchased it from him should be satisfied. So here our Gemara introduced that a matana, receiving something as a gift, is similar to purchasing it. Because just like when you purchase it, you paid for it, a gift doesn't come for free. And you must have done something, or the person who's giving you a gift is anticipating that you're going to do something on his behalf. And therefore, the halacha is matana kamechra. So the Rishonim, the Achronim, discuss a situation where somebody sent somebody to do something on his behalf, and the person who was sent as a shliach died doing his shliach, doing his shlichus. So the Shas Chuvas Marie Vail says that the person who sent the person to do the shlichus on his behalf has to do tshuva. He suggests he has to fast. He says that he has to help support the children, because this person was working on behalf of the Mishaleach. But says the Tzemach Tzedek, that that's only in the case where he didn't pay the worker. But if the person who sent him paid him, so he was doing it for his own purpose, not for the purpose of the Mishaleach, and then the Mishaleach would not be held responsible. Only when he wasn't getting paid. But there are chroinim that suggest that that's an incorrect approach. Because our Gemara just indicated that doing something and getting paying for something, a mecher, and matan are the same. So even if the person who was doing it was not getting paid, but he certainly had a reason to do it, he wouldn't have just taken on the shlichus if he didn't have a reason to take on the shlichus. And therefore, if we're going to hold that if the shlich was getting paid, he doesn't have to do anything, the same thing with matana. And if we're going to hold that if he wasn't getting paid, the mishleich is responsible, the same thing if he was getting paid. So we learned that we started the shir, that if the gazlan bought the property that he had stolen and sold, we assumed that he was trying to protect it in the hands of the person who bought it from him. But ask the Gemara, so we say that the reason he went out of his way to buy this property was because he wanted that the person who purchased it from him should be able to keep it. So how long do we say? In other words, how much after did this story happen do we still apply this concept that he's concerned about his reputation? Amar Rav Huna, Atshas Hamad Abedin. Until the person from whom it was stolen will go to the person who purchased it, and he's going to say, give me back the property. And if they went to Din Torah, and the Gazlan didn't do anything to protect the buyer, then we don't have any more this svara. Chibar Avama, Adamata Adrachta Liyadei. Until Bezdin gives the Lakeach an Adrachta. A Adrachta is a psak that gives the purchaser of Al Gemara, the Lakeach of Al Gemara, to have recourse back to any assets that the Gazlan has, which is 90 days after the Psak Din. If after that drachta was given to the buyer, then the Gazlan buys it, then we can't assume that his intention were to give it back to the buyer. The Papa says, Ad Maslan Yom Achrasta. After the buyer identifies properties that the Gazlan owns and goes after those properties to be reimbursed because he lost his property, Bezdin makes an announcement that we want to, and he doesn't want to pay, the Gazlan doesn't want to pay, we begin an auction process. From when that auction process begins, we can't say that the Gazan is buying it for the Lekeach. Maskla Rabin Bachama Michti. Hi Lekeach with Mike Connellaha Ara. How did he purchase this property? With a shtar. Bahai shtara. But ask the Gemara a fundamental question to everything we've been discussing. Ask the Gemara, Hai shtara, chas b'balmu. This shtar, which makes the property belong to the Lekeach and begins this whole situation that we've been discussing, that the Nigzal will go after the Lekeach to get back his property. And now the Lekeach goes back after the Gazlan to get back the money that he paid for this property. Why is that transaction recognized? This transaction, asked the Gemara, was done with a shtar. And the shtar is chas b'bam. It's a meaningless piece of paper because he was selling, the Gazlan was selling something that doesn't belong to him. Amle Rava, Tehei b'maminoi. We're talking about a case that the person who bought the property from the Gazlan says, I trust that you will make sure, I'm confident that you're going to make sure that I will remain with this property, or if something happens, I'll be made whole. But who are now the Kamalamidi? And the fact that he's not saying anything else, the Kamat Samachlay, he's relying on him, that is Taruch Maisle Goma Maknalay. In other words, what being said here is, trust me. And that trust is what makes the Kinyan into a valid Kinyan. And the way I saw the Achrayinim explain this Gemara, and we've said this explanation more than once, what is the reason for a Kinyan? The reason for a Kinyan is that the Kinyan accomplishes that we have here a Smichas Das, a Gemiras Das, a seriousness of intent. And that's what we have here, even though he didn't own the property. Maser of Sheshes, as for Sheshes, the Brisa teaches us. If somebody says to somebody else, Mashi Irish Me'abo, anything that I will inherit from my father, Mocholoch, I'm selling to you. Or somebody says, Mashi Talmud Tzedasi, he's going fishing, and he says, whatever fish that come into my net, Mocholoch. The Loch is Loyam Kolom. However, if somebody says, Mashi Irish Me'abo Hayoim, Mocholoch, then the halach is Dvar of Kayomim. So we see, so of course, the question is that why in the ratio that is it not a valid kinyan? If we're saying that if there's smichas das, that the seriousness of intent, there's a kinyan. Amram Chavra says, Rami Bachama, after he heard the questioner of Sheshus, Ha Gavra, here we have a great person, and we have a question. Amar Rabbi Gavra Kachazina, yes, there's a great person. However, I don't see the question. Hacha, in the case where somebody buys a stolen piece of property, Samchadati, he completely relies on the seller. As we have been saying, when somebody sells a piece of property, the buyer has every right to assume that he's selling him a property that he owns and that there's a seriousness to do this deal. However, by the case where somebody's selling something that he doesn't own, we don't have that intent. And the Gemara explains, if I purchase a property from somebody, what I'm assuming is that this person who's selling me the property intends to make sure that I will not lose out by buying the property. But when I buy something that the person who's selling it to me doesn't even own it at this point, I don't have that seriousness. And since I don't have that seriousness, therefore the halacha is that the kinyan is not considered a valid kinyan. Shachua, says the Gemara, the question that Rav Sheshes just posed was sent to Kamid Rab Ava Bav Zavda, Amlu Zu Enet Tzarech Lefnim. This question doesn't have to be brought to the yeshiva because nobody is going to be able to give an answer. That's the way Rashi explains in the first pshat. In the second pshat, Rashi suggests that it's so simple we don't even have to ask it. Amar Rava, zu tzarich lefnai lefnim. Of course it has to be brought, and the yeshiva talmidim will have to work in getting an answer. And the answer is, as we've said, hachasam chedatei, when you buy a property, you're confident that you're going to keep that property, or if you lose the property, the person who sold it to you will do whatever it takes to make you whole. Hacha, when you buy something that the seller doesn't own yet, loisam chedatei. Says the Gemara, have a uvdim apumadisa. There was a situation pumadisa for Eisvei, and this where this was discussed, that and Eisvei, and the question that we just asked was asked. Vamar Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Yosef said, "Zu ein tzarich lefnim." Vamar Abaye, "Zu tzarich lefnim, tzrich lefnei lefnim." Because the answer is hachasam chadatei, hachaloi sam chadatei. But ask the Gemara, when we learned the Brisa from which we asked, the Brisa made a very interesting distinction. If somebody says, "Mashi irish me abba machaloch, mashi talmud tzadosim machaloch," whatever I will ultimately inherit, whatever I will ultimately catch is sold le'ab ha'klum. But if he said, "Mashi irish me abba hayoim," or "Mashi talmud tzadosim hayoim," it is a valid sale. So ask the Gemara, "Mashna resha, mashna seifa." Why is there a difference between the Reish and the Sefer? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan answers, Sefer Mashi Irish Mi Abba Hayoyim, B'Shem Kvayr Aviv. When somebody uses that wording, he is referring to a situation where his father is very sick, and he needs money to be able to take care of the funeral, and therefore Chazal instituted that even though his father hasn't yet died, but he needs to have the money ready if and when his father dies. So that's why it's a good sale. However, it's speaking about a situation where he needs the money to live. Since he needs the money to live, so therefore, even though he doesn't yet have the fish or the birds, it's considered as if he has them already, because we consider it a real sale because he's desperate for the money. So the Torah says that Yaakov bought the Bechayr from Esav. And the question is, how could Yaakov bought the Bechayr from Esav? Wasn't this a Dovash Labalaylam? Because Yitzchak wasn't hand passed away yet. So it's a Dovash Labalaylam. So the Ravash answers that this concept of Ein Adam Makta Dovash Labalaylam did not apply to before Matan Torah. The Rosh says that if you're selling a Dovash Labalaylam, but accompanied to the sale, there's a Shvua, as the Torah says, Hishavali Kayoim, then that makes it a strong, and again, with the svar that we've been learning, that gives this transaction a seriousness of intent, and therefore, even though it's a dovish labalaylam, it's going to be a valid transaction. The Aruch Chaim has a different explanation. He says, our Gemara just said that if somebody is desperate, then even though it's a dovish labalaylam, but the fact that he's desperate for this income makes it into a serious sale. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, and that's why the Gemara said when he says Hayoyim, it's a valid sale. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's why the Torah says Michra Kiyoyim Es Becharoscha. Esav was saying, I'm desperate. I need something to eat, and I don't have any other way to pay you besides with the food that you're going to give me. Since that was the case, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's why the transaction was considered a valid transaction, because he added the words Michra Kiyoyim. Michra Kiyoyim was an indication of desperate to sell, and when it's desperate to sell, because he needs the income, the Gemara just said it's a valid sale. It says the Gemara, Amar Avuna Amar Rav, Ha'oyim El Chaveri, somebody says to somebody else, Sada Shanikul L'Keach, the field that I'm going to buy, Licha Shechena, when I will eventually buy it, Kanuyalov Me'achshav, is ready to say, I'm selling it to you from now, the halacha is that karet's a valid kinyan. Amarova, the stam milsa derav, the sod the stam, where he didn't specify a specific field. And there are plenty of fields. And since there are plenty of fields, we could assume that he certainly will buy a field, and he's selling it from now. And of course, the Rishonim say that the word achshav is critical, because achshav shows either the seriousness of the intent, or achshav says that I want it to be from today. Avol sadazu, if he specifies a field, then loikana. Because who says, miyem the masbin leinlei, who says they'll ever be able to get hold of that field? Velakim, but says the Gemara, I swear, I'm a Rav, the Rav said, a field but kutsadazu. Even where he specified the field, and since he specified the field, there's a real concern that who says he will ever get his hands on the field, it doesn't change that even if he specified the field, that we're confident they'll get the field. Michti, says the Gemara, how could that be halachically correct? Michti, Rav Kamat Om L'Shmaitza, Kermeyer, he obviously is following the opinion of Rameyer, that even if I don't own something currently, I could still do a kinyan on it. The Tanya, where do we see this? Because the Braisa teaches us a case of Oymel Isha. Somebody says to his wife, some says to a woman, the man is currently not Jewish, so he can't obviously do Kedushin. But he says that the Kedushin should be valid after become a ger. Lachish does gairi, she's not Jewish. And he says, Lachish does gairi. Or he's an Eved Kanani. And he says the Kedushin should be valid lachish eshtachar, after I become free. Lachish eshtachari, or she's a Shifcha Kananis. Or if she's a married woman, he says, Lachish yamaspalich. Or she's a Yavama. And he says, Lachish yachslach Yavamach. Or if it's a woman who is the sister of his wife, and he says, therefore he can't marry her until the sister dies, lach shtam sachoseich, and all these halachas ain't a mekadeshes. Rameya, I'm a mekadeshes. It is a valid kedushin. Makes the Gemara's point. V'isha, when he's speaking to the specific woman that we are speaking about, it's not saying, I'm going to get married. He's specifying a woman. And it's like Soda Zudamya. And we've been learning that there's a difference between when he says the property that I'm buying, I'm going to give to you. In that case, we say since he will eventually be able to buy a property, that's why it's a valid sale. But when he specifies a property, we've been learning that the halacha is different, because who says he'll ever be able to get his hands on the property? This is a case where he specified a property. Since it's specified a property, should that not be considered a case where who says he's going to be able to get that property? And since who says he's going to be able to get that property, it shouldn't be considered a valid kinyan. It must be that the reason it's a valid kinyan, because we follow the opinion of Rameyer on Rameyer Mekadeshes, because Rameyer is not concerned about a dover shlobal oilam. If somebody finds in the street that the loiva obligates himself to the malva, that the malva should have a lien on his assets, yeah, and now that piece, that shtar is found in the street, yachzir lebalim, it should be returned to the malva. Di mishum the cost of luvas v'leilava. Even if we need to be concerned that maybe this loan never took place, it doesn't make a difference. Hashab nafsha, he obligated himself. And the fact that he obligated himself, even if the loan didn't take place, doesn't make a difference. Why are we not concerned that maybe the loiva already paid back? So the Gemara loy chashinan leperon. We need not be concerned about that. Dim is the pari, because if the loiva had paid back, mikrav akarle, they would have ripped up the shtar. And the fact that the shtar is not ripped up is clearly an indication that it wasn't paid back yet. Amar of Nachman, Abba Mesaf the Dain of the Mashmulhu, says, my father was amongst the Dayonim of the Bezdin of Shmuel, Vavina Kabashita Kvasheva, I remember I was 6, 7 years old. The Zechrin and Davin Machris of Amri, I remember that they announced Hani Shtarik Naisa, the Mishtacha B'Shukav. We find such a Shtarak Nob in the street. The Alochi is that Madrina Lamayu. We give it back to the Malva. And as the Rishonim point out, the fact that this Shmuel's opinion is that we're not concerned that it was, we need not be concerned that the fact that it fell in the street, we learned the svar earlier in our parak, has a reisa, that he's not concerned for a reisa. Another question we're going to have the svara, maybe it wasn't in the hands of the loiva or the malva. Maybe it was in the hands of a third party, of a shalish. And if it was in the hands of a shalish, asked the Rishonim, shouldn't that be, why are we not concerned from that? So Rishonim answer that if the reason somebody would give it to a third party is because it was partially paid. So if it was partially paid, then we have the following situation. The owner, the malva is not entitled to it because it was partially paid. The loiva is not entitled to it because it is still somewhat open. So therefore, because of that question, the halacha is that we give it to a shalish. So why shouldn't we be concerned that it was the shalish that dropped it? So the Rishonim answer, if that were the case that was dropped by a shalish, they would have written a receipt. They would have written a shoiver. The fact that there is no shoiver here is an indication that it wasn't in the hands of a shalish. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Amram, Afanan Nami Tanina, we also learned, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, and Daf Chof Amar Alpha Mitzvashem, Kol Ma'is Bezdin, any shtar which was Mekuyim, often we speak in Shas about Kiyim Shtaris, where a shtar is certified by recognizing the Edom or the Edom Rek, saying that this is their signature. The Mishnah says, Harei Zeh Yachzer, we give it back to the Malva. So isn't that Mishnah again also Raya, to Lechashina Leproin, we need not be concerned that it was paid back. Amalei Rav Zeira. So Rav Zeira said to Rav Amram, we can't bring a Raya from that Mishnah. Because Mishnissen, that Mishnah is speaking about Bishtar Chatosa. That's a Shtar the Bezdin gives to the Malva. In a case where the loiva refuses to pay, Bezdin gives the malva a document that gives them the right to foreclose on the assets of the loiva, the drachta, or it's a shtar where it says that we couldn't find assets by the loiva, and therefore the malva is allowed to do whatever he needs to do to get payback. The labne peronhu, they're not proof that the shtar was or wasn't paid up. It's just a psak bezdin. Ask the Gemara, why would you say that these are not the same as a shtar choif? Amar Rava, v'hani labnei peroninu, v'amri nedor, shuma, a document that bezdin assessed the value of a piece of property, and they took it from the loiva for the malva. Hadar, if the loiva is successful in finding money to pay the malva, goes back to the loiva. For 12 months, we give the loiva the opportunity to have find cash and not lose his property. I hold that it could go back. We always give the loiva the opportunity. So why we consider it not the same as a shtar choif? The reason that we explain in the Mishnah Daf Chof that if you find the Ma'is Bezdin, we give it back. And we explained, as we just said, that the Mishnah over there is talking about a haltosa and a drachta, hainatama, damri iud asa nafshe. The loiva put himself in a bad place. The bidna de pari, he bought a little mikra story. When he did pay back, in other words, he found the money to pay back, and therefore we don't go after his property, he should have ripped up those documents, the haltosa and the drachta. Or he should have written a document, the Medina Ara Leboila Meheda, because the Malva is not really obligated to go after that property. But we have to do above and beyond. That's why Chazal said that we give the loiva the opportunity to pay and not lose his property. So as soon as he did this, he should have written a document. He's being a good person. The malva is being a good person.
But while we speak about a shtar chayiv, Michael Maimer, imisa de pare.
So we should say that if it was paid up, why wasn't it ripped up?
Ibai la mikla shtara, ibai ishtamuti ka shtartle.
That what happened is that he got delayed. Damale, that the loiva paid back the malva, and now the loiva says to malva, give me back the shtar so I can rip it up.
Damale la mach yevelach,
I'll give it to you tomorrow, because the hashtar les la gaboy. I don't have it with me right now.
Inami, apshita de safra zayle.
What happened was, the halacha is that the loiva has to pay the soifer for the writing of the document. But we're referring here to a situation where the loiva did not have any money. Since the loiva didn't have any money, the malva laid out the money for the soifer. But he only laid it out with the understanding that he's going to have to reimburse the malva. So yes, he paid back the malva, but he didn't pay back the malva for the money that he laid out to give to the cipher. And therefore the malva says he has a right to hold on to that shtar. But while he's holding on to that shtar, it's wrapped. And now the loiva says, I paid up. And the malva says, no, you owe me the money still. That's why we can't compare that case to the cases that we just discussed.